Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good for this June 5th, 2023, 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And Seth Habacker.
Good morning, everyone.
We got good fun stuff lined up for you this hour. We got a That Ain't Right story or two, some good stories of the day we'll touch on, maybe a little entertainment news, we'll see. But of course, it is 9 on a Monday. You know what that means, everybody. It is time to open the kitchen. Something good.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. Some things may have changed, but this segment is still here. Today, we're going to talk about the sound of food.
The sound of food?
Uh-huh. Hmm. Yeah.
Were you listening to your plants grow over the weekend?
Hey! Now, you know, plants actually have a lot to say.
But only if you're close enough.
No, that's true. Or if you don't water them, then they have a lot to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, before we get too deep into that, we need to thank our sponsor. The Kitchen's Open is sponsored this week by Chatterbox Catering, a full-service catering company equipped for all of your catering needs.
That's right. This is the last week of sponsorship by Chatterbox, but Kathy's not going anywhere. If you're looking for the right caterer for your summer gatherings, or maybe even to get one on the books for your family reunion this fall, you'll want to call Kathy.
That is correct. Kathy's homemade sauces and foods are delicious, and they're even better enjoyed outdoors. Make your party planning easy by calling Kathy at 715-712-3393. We'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment. All right, Melissa. Please explain what you mean by the sound of food.
Okay, well, when we're talking about food, we usually mention the smells, the tastes, the textures, right? But there's a whole another food sensation that doesn't get as much attention, and that's the sound.
You're correct, Mel. Dr. Charles Spence says sound is the forgotten flavor sense. He's a professor of experimental psychology and the head of cross-model research lab at the University of Oxford.
That's right. Professor Spence, Dr. Spence, I'm not really sure how you correctly use PhD in a title when you're talking. But he's a fascinating person. He specializes in neuroscience-inspired multi-sensory design. And when I started researching this topic, I found his book, Gastrophysics, The New Science of Eating. I was actually able to check it out through Libby on the app on my local library. It looks like a wonderful and interesting book. He covers a variety of topics in the book, including all of the five senses and even a chapter on memories of food. Now, I just had to focus on the chapter about sound in the interest of time, but I hope to go back and read the whole thing.
Yeah. So, are we talking about the sound when you eat food or the sound when you make food?
Ooh.
Actually, both, Seth. Dr. Spence said that when we hear what we eat and drink, what we hear when we eat and drink plays a bigger role than we realize. The sound when you crunch into a crispy kettle chip, or even the sound of dishes rattling in the kitchen.
Wait, is this like Pavlov's dog kind of stuff?
Yeah. Kind of, but without the horrific torture.
Oh, okay. That's good.
The Russian scientist Ivan Pavlov devoted his life in the late 18 and early 19th centuries to understanding the conditional reflex, which is now known as the Pavlovian response or Pavlovian conditioning. He discovered that dogs learned to associate food with sounds before it was put in front of them. The methods he used to discover this are not something I want to talk about on this show, would definitely not be tolerated today. But he is known throughout the world of psychology, and his theories have heavily influenced the study of psychology and behavioralism even today.
Okay, can we get back to more pleasant topic of the crunchy food?
Yeah.
Of course.
For fun.
So, Professor Charles Spence showed through his research that there's a direct correlation between crunchiness of a food and how it's perceived. He did this by modifying the sound people would hear when they bit into a chip. Now, this was a 2015 study that he did. The participants rated 180 Pringle chips on their freshness or crispness over the course of an hour.
Where do you sign up for that?
Yeah.
Right? So now what he did is he manipulated the loudness of the crunch and the frequency composition through their headphones in real time. According to wellandgood.com, he found that when the overall sound level was increased, or when the high-frequency sounds were boosted, participants rated chips as tasting both significantly crisper and fresher.
This response is actually related to human evolution. Fresh foods tend to be noisier when you eat them and have a higher nutrient value. This may be why we like noisier foods. It signals freshness.
James, that might be true, but that doesn't make crunchy potato chips health food.
I thought I was really onto something for a second there.
Oh, man.
But yes, I know. That means fruits and vegetables. In my defense, Dr. Spence claimed in one of his studies that any tasty and crunchy product is processed by the brain as healthy. So my brain thinks it is.
Well, don't worry. We're going to talk about healthy and crispy potato chips in the recipe part of the segment, all right?
We'll get there.
Still want those kettle chips.
So the crunch in food tells our brains it's fresh and tasty, but crunchy foods are also fun.
That's true. Remember what it was like when you were a kid and you chewed as loudly as you could just for the fun of it? Oh, my parents remember that. Some adults I know still do that with their gum when they think no one is around.
Yeah. Or sometimes they just don't care.
Yeah.
There was this one lady in the airport when I was on my way to... Okay, well, we won't get into that. My mom always chastised me if I was chewing my gum loudly. She would say I sounded like a cow chewing its cud. but it was fun. I still like snapping my gum, but only when no one else is around.
I could wax poetically about gum, but what I'm actually more interested in is the history of crunchy foods, like potato chips.
Well, the history of the crunchy snack is shrouded in controversy. Should have said it that way. The most common story originates in Saratoga Springs, New York, at the Moon Lake Lodge Resort. Supposedly in 1853, the railroad tycoon Cornelius Vanderbilt thought the French fried potatoes he was served were too thick and soft. He sent them back to the chef, George Speck. Speck, whose professional name was Crumb. Nice. He was the son of an African-American father and a Native American mother. He was a gifted but grumpy cook. With a name like Crumb, I don't blame him. According to the legend, to get back to at his complaining customer, Crumb cut the next serving of potatoes super thin and fried them in the grease until they were browned. To his surprise, Vanderbilt loved them, and the potato chip was born.
Now, there are several problems with this story. According to History.com, historian T.J. Stiles said that there's no way that the complaining customer was Vanderbilt. He wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, The First Tycoon. The Epic Life of Cornelius Vanderbilt. So you'd think he would know. The other issue is that Crumb wasn't recognized in his lifetime for inventing the potato chip. He was widely known for celebrated across the U.S. for his book trout, lake bass, woodcock, and partridge. He was perhaps the first celebrity chef in America, but nobody was talking about his potato chips. Interesting.
And here's an interesting twist to the Crumb story. When his sister, Catherine Adkins Wicks, died at the age of 103, her obituary claimed she was the originator of the potato chip.
Whoa.
She worked in the kitchen with Crumb and was familiarly known, I can never say that word, familiarly,
yeah, one of those words.
Whatever.
Yeah.
People most called her Aunt Kate or Aunt Katie. In one story, it was she, not Crumb, who sliced the potatoes paper thin in a moment of pique because of a disgruntled customer. In another rendition, she accidentally dropped a thin slice of potato skin she was peeling into a boiling pot of fat. When she pulled it out, that's when the potato chip was born.
There are several other claims to the invention of the crispy snack. I like the more recent theory, which was apparently first advanced by historian T.J. Stiles. Once again, he said the Moon Lake potato chips preceded even Crumb and Wicks. He found an article from 1849 in the New York Herald that talked about the fame of Eliza the cook for crisping potatoes. I think we should call it that, crisping potatoes. Yeah. It stated that scores of people visit the lake and carry away specimens of the vegetable as prepared by her as curiosities. Unfortunately, Eliza's last name has been lost to history.
Did you know that it wasn't until 1954 that potato chips were first sold with any flavoring on them? Before that, commercially sold potato chips came from with a packet of salt you could pour over them.
Wow.
But in the 50s, Joseph Spud Murphy, who owned the Tato potato chip company in Dublin, Ireland, asked one of his employees to find a way to flavor the chips. According to an article by Lorraine Bellman, Seamus Burke invented the cheese and onion flavor that is widely popular in Britain to this day.
They were also responsible for popularizing flavored potato chips worldwide. when we talk about flavored potato chips in the U.S., some common flavors come to mind, like sour cream and onion, barbecue, cheddar and sour cream. But in other countries, they have flavors I've never seen here, like mint chips in India, ham chips in Spain, prawn cocktail in the U.K., and paprika in Germany. Now, that last one I would definitely try. The others, I guess I would because they don't seem to have any dairy in them. And most flavored chips in the U.S. do.
They've got shrimp-flavored ones in Japan, too. I've had those. Those are actually pretty good. Well, you can always make it yourself, Melissa. Then you can put on them whatever you want.
Oh, awesome. That's true. Are we at recipe time?
Why, yes. Yes, we are, James. Homemade potato chips are delicious.
Now, I won't lie to you and say they're easier to make than opening up a bag, but they really are worth the effort. And the best part is you only need three ingredients.
Unless you want to make them flavored.
Well, of course. But yes, you really only need potatoes, oil, and salt. Now, I found this recipe on servefromscratch.com. Now, the best potatoes to use are ones high in starch and low in moisture, like russets, Idahos, or even sweet potatoes. If you're planning on getting into chip making on a regular basis, you'll want to invest in a kitchen gadget called a mandolin. If you don't already have one, it can make slicing your potatoes super thin really easy. But to be successful making chips at home, you really only need to have a sharp knife and some slicing skills on the cutting board.
I'm just going to keep my big hands out of this one. I'm just going
to
move away from
my... Oh, now I know what to get you for Christmas, James. So after you slice the potatoes, you want to soak them in an ice bath. This step is super important. It pulls out the excess starches out of the chips, and it helps the cells seal up. The result is a crispier chip, and they also won't stick together as easily when you're frying them.
Ah, yes, the elusive potato pile chip.
Now, next, you'll want to drain them well and pat them dry. It's best to use a kitchen towel and put a single layer of potatoes on it, and then pat them with paper towels. Then you can transfer them to another container and repeat until you have all the sliced potatoes as dry as you can get them.
Okay, sliced potatoes, check. Wet potatoes, check. Dry potatoes, check. Got it.
Now comes the fun part, frying them in hot oil. You want your oil between 350 and to 365 degrees. Add in a batch of your prepped potatoes and stir them often with a slotted spoon. You'll want to pay attention and make sure you're moving them around pretty constantly so they brown evenly and do not stick together. Once they're nicely browned, remove them from the oil and put them on a single layer on paper towels. Once they've drained, you can sprinkle them with salt or, Melissa, add your other seasonings.
Yeah, I want to try that paprika seasoning. I even have that in the cupboard.
I'm trying to think of something weird. What about maple flavored? Okay, now that I have said it into the universe, I kind of want to try it. wait, hold up. I just found a recipe for bacon maple sweet potato chips, but this sounds a little complicated. First, I have to make something called pig candy, I think I'm saying. And then I have to bake them. Melissa, help me, please.
Okay, baking potato chips is not all that complicated, and you don't even have to slice your potatoes as thin, James.
That is true, and pig candy is just bacon dipped in brown sugar and baked. Not hard, but it takes a little time.
That is a mean name. I'm sorry. That is a mean name to call it that. Like a pig candy.
Yeah. Melissa, tell us about baking versus deep frying. I'm guessing that will be a little healthier?
Yes, but you still have to use oil when you bake them. So this recipe I found on bowlofdelicious.com. After you've sliced your potatoes, put them in a bowl and drizzle them with about 1 tablespoon of olive oil. You don't want to use a lot or they'll burn easier, and you'll need to use your hands for this part.
Oh, this could be a fun way to get kids involved. They like to get their hands dirty in the kitchen.
That's true. Just be sure that every surface of each slice is covered with a thin layer of oil. And then you can arrange them on a parchment-covered baking sheet. You don't want any overlapping, but they can touch. And this is when you add your salt or other seasonings. So, James, for yours, you'll need to mix melted butter with maple syrup and brush or rub it all over your sweet potato slices instead of the oil. Then you bake them in a 425-degree oven for about 15 to 20 minutes. Now, here's a pro tip. Turn off the oven and let the chips sit in there cooling for 15 or even up to 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It will help them crisp up a bit more and dehydrate them. But you'll need to keep an eye on them or they'll get too crispy and possibly burn. Mm,
that sounds delicious. But I got to ask, where does this old pig candy thing come into play?
Well, if you're making those, you'll only bake your sweet potato chips coated in butter and maple syrup and sprinkled with salt and pepper for about 15 minutes. And actually, those ones can be completely overlapped in a big giant pile. But you'll want to watch them until they're very brown at the edges. You might even want to stir them up a couple times. And then you garnish them with your crumbled pig candy and fresh parsley.
I think they sound great for a Thanksgiving side dish.
I agree. Mm. And I found that recipe for everybody on today.com, believe it or not.
And believe it or not, we've run out of time again. Mm. We have really enjoyed having Chatterbox Catering as our very first sponsor on our Kitchens Open segment. We have to say goodbye to Kathy and her staff for now. But you should call them and say hello if you're looking for a great caterer.
That's right. Kathy can help you with all your party menu planning and even give suggestions if you're not sure what you want. Be sure to call Chatterbox at 715-712-3393 for your first step in party planning.
That's right. That number again is 715-712-3393. Chatterbox Catering will cook you up something good. Side note, we are looking for our next sponsor. If you're interested, you can email me directly at melissa.k@civicmedia.us or simply call the office and ask for Ashley. That number is 715-424-1300. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
For now, we will have another Kitchens Open segment for you next Monday. Mm-hmm. Be listening for that in this 9 o'clock hour. For right now, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, our good friend Bill Heck will be with us with our monthly Veterans Update here on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. And right now we are joined like we are every beginning of the month by our good friend Bill Heck with our monthly Veterans Update. Good morning, sir.
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing good.
What a great day, huh?
How have you been, Bill?
All right. I you know, all weekend we did the orange blossoms this weekend. People kept saying, you know, have a good day. And I said, well, how can you help but have a good day? You're in Wisconsin.
That's right. Nicely. Nice.
That's
it's a true statement. Nice. True statement.
You know, I look at things. We have our weather events and all, but there's no hurricanes, none of that kind of
it's
stuff.
True.
Yeah, yeah. You really can't complain too much.
Small tornado every 5 years.
Yeah, you know, something like that. There you go. Yeah, it really could be a lot different in a lot of other locations. What do we have going on veteran-wise?
Well, I'd like to first off take this opportunity to thank the people of Central Wisconsin. We had a record-breaking orange blossom distribution this past
week. Oh, good.
We were in several locations in Rapids, and we did three locations in Marshfield as well. And the people of Central Wisconsin are great for
vets. Yeah, they are.
It's just great. It's just wonderful. Well, let me get some of the upcoming events here we got coming. June the 8th, we have a VVA chapter meeting at 6 p.m. June the 10th, we got a brat fry at West Grand. June the 14th, Heroes Cafe. June the 15th, VFW post meeting at 6 p.m. June 24th, brat fry on West Grand. June 28th, another Heroes Cafe. And July the 1st, we're going to need some help out there. We're going to be picking up the flags at the cemetery for Memorial Day. On the 12th of July, that's our first cafe, and we're going to have a major announcement about the cafe. I think people will like it. I've been looking for somebody to take over. And, that's all I'll say.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
We haven't started. Tomorrow, we're going to start an eagle raffle. I'm sure you've seen some of the eagles that Rich Ehlert from Vesper makes.
Yeah.
There's one in Grace's. There's one at the VA.
Yep.
We've got one we're going to be raffling off. It's currently at the Elks Club.
Oh.
And we're going to start the raffle on D-Day, the 6th of June. And we're going to end the raffle on the 11th of November, which is Veterans Day.
I like that, Bill. That's really smart.
Rich really makes some beautiful eagles.
Yeah, too. He does. Yeah.
And we're going to sell our tickets for $2 a piece, six for $10.
Nice.
And it's going to be a long raffle, but it's, you know.
Well, that's a really fun idea and very meaningful with yep. those dates. Very well done.
Right now, we can get anybody that comes into Eagles, or excuse me, Elks Club can get tickets. Also at the Heroes Cafe.
Okay.
Now, we're going to take it out where some of the members that come to the cafe will also have tickets, and we'll publish that out and let everybody okay. know where they can get tickets.
Cool.
And again, the raffle will be drawn on the 11th of November. The next honor flight mm-hmm. is 25th of September. The next one after that is the 16th of October. Yeah. I've got an address here I'll leave with you for mail call.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll make sure to mention that in our shows and over the back fence.
Okay, and then I have another large announcement. At the last Heroes Cafe, Quilts of Valor one.
Okay.
We got together and we came up with an idea. We'd given out 240 quilts through the through the cafe.
Wow.
I got to adding them up and I bounced my list off of the list that the ladies have, and I found out only 24 of them are female. And I know there are a lot more female vets in this area. So we came up with this idea. We're next May, on the 25th, I believe it is, mm-hmm. the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, mm-hmm. we're going to have an all-female vet Quilts of Valor.
Wow.
Aww. That's awesome. That's nice. Awesome.
I am asking you and everybody else around, if you know a female vet, have her get in touch with me.
Yeah.
We've got a year. I want to, here's the thing. Normally we give out 12 to 18 quilts.
Yeah.
Well, if we do this right, we should be giving out 30 to 40 quilts.
Wow. Yeah.
That makes it tough on the local quilt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So a little
they,
bit.
They took this idea to the national gal, and the national gal said she would have other chapters contribute. We can get as many female vets as we want. And that other quilt associations will help contribute to the
What a fantastic idea, Bill.
Yeah.
That's
I really
great.
Love this.
We want to try to get it in the East Junior High Fieldhouse because Lincoln Band is already committed to be there.
Nice.
I'm going to try to get some national news coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time it's ever been done by a quilting group that it was not all female.
Yeah.
You know, like if there's an all-female vet club, you can understand that.
What a great idea.
Oh, I've already got several nurses from the Wausau Seabot.
Great.
That were military. Well, they're still serving with the VA. So.
And we know how correct you are, you know, with this. It's just a matter of getting those names to you. How will people get those names to you?
Well, they'll call you.
Okay. All right.
I got my number at the bottom of the sheet I'm going to give you, and you can call me, or you can put it out. They can call me direct.
Yeah.
I'd like to just flood that field out.
Yeah. However you got to get these names to us, we'll get them to Bill. We'll make sure. If you get them to us, I'll make sure to get them to Bill. That's no problem. However, it's easiest for the audience to get them to us, just so we can get these names and celebrate these women.
We're going to try to make this a really major event, something they will remember the rest of their life. We're going to have a dinner for them afterwards.
Nice.
You know, it's...
That's a great idea, Bill.
It's just something... That's not normally done.
Yeah, right.
We get an occasional female vet once in a while in the Quilts of Valor, but I'd like to do just strictly female
vets. I love
vets.
It.
That's a great idea.
We're looking forward to that, Bill.
And that's
Thank
all
you.
I got for
okay,
right now.
Okay, all right. Well, Bill, before we let you go, again, if you want to give your number, or is there any information we can get to people? I can do it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get that out there to people.
My number, if you want to get in touch with me, is 262-496-3198. Just leave me a message, and I'll get back with you, get you the form. Yeah. And getting a quilt next May.
All right.
And for the Never Forgotten Honor Flight, that address is, and you just want to put the honored veteran in the top title there, and CO Never Forgotten Honor Flight, 225780 Rib Mountain Drive, number 780. That's 225780. 5780 Rib Mountain Drive, number 780 in Wausau, Wisconsin, 54401. I can get this address to anybody out there that wants it. Just email me, just message me, and we'll get it right to you, everybody.
And they can address it to a specific veteran or honored veteran as
Gotcha.
Well.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank
Mail
you.
Mail call's Bill. A big thing on that honor.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
It is a big thing. And I cannot tell you how much we appreciate you, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us this morning and every month as you do. Looking forward to talking again next month already.
Glad to be here.
Thanks, Bill.
It's a fine day in Wisconsin.
It is.
Mr. Rogers used to say a wonderful day in your neighborhood. Yes. Here you are.
Appreciate you, Bill. Thank you for the time.
Thanks a lot.
We're going to take a quick commercial. We're actually going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I love this song. Good song.
Yeah.
Not exactly a wake-you-up kind of song.
Yeah, everyone should be awake by now.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is 9:30.
It is 9:30.
It's a very good point.
Yeah, nap time.
Yeah, right.
Mid-morning nap.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you right now. And appreciate everybody joining us this morning. Thanks so much, everybody. We've been having a lot of fun around here. And we're going to continue to have fun, but I need everybody to put on their mature hats. Put on your mature hats. Everybody needs to be mature. Now, our audience doesn't have to. Our audience, you guys can go ahead.
You guys can be as juvenile as you want.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But we here as a staff...
Professionals here.
We are. We have our head of our news department here, Melissa Kay, of course. We have our head of production. We've got some serious stuff to talk about here. In a recent poll, 25% of Americans said that they are not a fan of sports in general. But that probably depends on how you define sports. Sweden has done something interesting. And now, to longtime listeners, you know we have some listeners out there in Sweden.
We
do. So we say good morning or afternoon to them. Sweden has become the first country to register sex as a sport.
Really?
And later this week, they will host the first ever European Sex Championship.
What?
I don't know if we want to know what that belt looks like. It is a lot more structured than you'd think. The championship is being organized by the Swedish Sex Federation. I did not even know that existed.
Don't look up their website at work.
No, It is, and it's open to anyone from any European country. This year's competitors have already been chosen.
Okay.
What?
20 representatives from different European countries will take part. The championship will last a few weeks, with daily competitions lasting for 6 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah. According to the organizers, the focus of sex as a sport is on the maximizing pleasure, so the more pleasure your partner experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Participants will be judged on creativity, strong emotions, imagination, physical fitness, endurance, and workability. The final scores will be determined from a panel of judges, as well as audience votes. It's unclear how you can qualify for audience. There's a lot here. Now, first up, I want to get to something real quickly here right away.
All right.
Keep one thing in mind with this whole entire conversation. Mm-hmm. This is happening in Europe, where they are not even close to as bent up as we are about sex.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. They are way better about this than we are. Yep. We are very...
uptight,
tight laced.
Yeah. I would say about
something
this
like that.
In our country and everything. Now on a person by person thing, when you're just talking solo, it's one thing. But on a wide conversation like this, where we're talking to you out there and we're having this conversation here and stuff, it gets uncomfortable for people.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
Let's just own that right away. It's awkward. It's a little uncomfortable.
I think the part of anatomy of a murder. Yeah. You're going to be panties. When Jimmy Stewart says, let's get it out of your system now.
Get it out of your system.
Panties.
And everything.
There you go.
I just want to know how far this will go. I want to know if this will be like 5-10 years from now. Oh, they're having the sex championships again over there in Europe. I'm really curious.
Or will it become an Olympic sport?
Yeah.
Well, they missed a golden opportunity in marketing. Why didn't they call it the Sex Olympics? Oh, yeah. Come on. They don't call it, they call it the sex champion. That's kind of boring. It sex is, Olympic boring sounds then. Better.
It is very boring.
Come on, the marketing people. Come on, Sweden.
Why didn't they ask you?
Now, I will say this too. Say you were the person that wins this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to believe you. Imagine going up to your buddies and saying, yeah, I'm the sex champion of Europe.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Nobody's ever going to believe that. Nobody. Like, it sounds like the lamest pickup line probably ever, too. It's a, you know, I won the championship. And you'd also, like, God help us if a man wins this. Because that guy will never walk anywhere without that championship trophy.
Yeah, he'll be carrying. He could weigh 100 pounds and he would, yeah.
Watch, like, old football players or NBA players that have won a championship, like, in the 40s or, like, 60s or whatever, still walking around with that
giant ring on there, yeah.
You go ahead and try to test me if I'm wrong about this.
I'm guessing that the prize is going to actually be a choker. You know, as opposed to a ring or something else.
It may still be a ring, just one you don't wear on your finger.
Hey-oh! There you go!
Hard to show that off, though, Seth.
I know, you really can't. You got indecency laws that you have to deal with, right?
Right. So, questions, though, is it one winner, or is it, do you sign up as a team? Because, you know, I mean, it is kind of a team sport.
It's a good point. It's a very strong point right there. Yes, yes. You know, you have, I've heard of this happening a lot more in tennis than anywhere else, where you have two great tennis players, they team up to be partners, mm-hmm. but one is better than the other, so it's an awkward moment of, okay, I got to ask a new partner in, because we want to win, mm-hmm. so if you want me to win, I got to have a new partner here. That whole different conversation all of a sudden.
It sounds like a recipe for disaster, it really does.
It sounds like a quick way to break up. It sounds like an ending of a relationship.
I'm sorry, hun, but you know, I got to win the, you know.
On a serious note, do you think that something like I don't know that something like this could ever exist in the States, but I do think that we do need to get over our uncomfortableness about sex. We gotta get over this.
Having a conversation about it can be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yeah.
As is proven with everything that's going on.
I want to be specific about this here. I don't mean that we need to be more open about what's going on in your house, house.
Like, we don't need specifics.
Don't need specifics.
It's a private thing.
But just in general, talking mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. sex, I think we need to be better about this. We've already learned from this in history, okay? What do you, anytime the family center joins us, what do we talk about? Since the dawn of relationships and domestic violence, we've talked like this about mm-hmm. it. And that's why we're in the situation we're in now, where we're trying to make up for lost time and trying to balance the scales and everything. It's not that different. The two worlds are tied together, obviously.
And and something that's very tied very closely to that, comprehensive sex education for young people.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. better they know what is all involved in this. It makes more sense.
Yes. And sex is a very vital part of a healthy, you know, romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it sure is.
Ain't a dang one of us here without it.
That's true. Right? That's right.
It feels like a pretty important topic that kids should be very up to date on.
What does it mean? What happens? All these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. The ups and downs. Oh, that was bad. Why? Oh, I just did a James there. Oh.
Important to talk about.
I have to go on that. We have to go. A quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun. On the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. You know, I remember hearing this song tons growing up, and mm-hmm. I never minded it, but I could, for the life of me, I have no idea who the artist is.
Howard Jones.
It is Howard Jones.
It is Howard Jones,
okay. It is Howard Jones, okay. Yeah.
Underrated artist in the 80s. He had a couple of big hits.
I was going to say, he had a couple. A couple of them. Couldn't think of it. Thank you for that, though. That was bugging me.
You recognize the voice.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James taking it right to the top of the hour. Just real quickly, we're going to get to some local good stories of the day in a moment, but I got one that I want to touch on right away. You. Every one of you out there.
Yeah.
I've been hearing from people all morning that they have been listening. They joined us in WIRI and moved with us over here. We appreciate that. We do this job for you. This is about you. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing radio for the audience, you're not doing radio right, period.
Right.
And if you guys don't come first out there, then you're not doing this right. And we appreciate you guys. Appreciate mm-hmm. your feedback. Appreciate you all joining us on the show here and everything. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to be, as we go along here and fine-tuning and getting this just how we you guys want it and we want it and everything, we're going to mm-hmm. have more and more fun. Get to do this together. This yeah. isn't us dictating this to you as an audience. This is what we're going to do. No, we want to hear from you. We want to work mm-hmm. with you on this and find mm-hmm. out what works and what doesn't.
That's right.
So we encourage you to your feedback about that and appreciate everything that we've already heard. You guys are awesome. Appreciate
yeah.
you. One of the things that I wanted to touch on real quickly, because we already had kind of a That I Write story a little bit ago there. I did want to mention this one right here, this feature That I Write story.
All right.
The U.S. Postal Service just released its annual report on dog attacks.
Oh, no.
They say then more than 5,300 of their employees were attacked last year.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
Yikes.
And that's actually down a bit from 2021 when there was over 5,400 attacks.
Mm.
Ooh.
California and Texas were the top two states again, which makes sense since they have the most people.
That's true.
One in five attacks happen in those states. But there's a few. There's a new number one city for dog attacks. Dog attacking mailman. Congratulations to Houston.
Dubious honor, but yes.
Second to first. Cleveland topped the list a year ago, but dropped to fourth this time. The top five cities for dog attacks for postal workers include Houston, L.A., Dallas, Cleveland, and San Diego.
All right, you dogs.
Dog owners.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. We shouldn't necessarily blame the dogs.
Well, I will say this, though. You know, postal workers are paid so much money. It's such a cushy job. They can put... Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
I was thinking of something completely different. Oh, that's right. It's a government job that we don't give any credit to, and all we do is complain about when their job isn't done right. But when they do the job right...
We don't say anything.
Yeah, yeah. There was a time and place when, because we've talked about this with tipping, where I don't, mm-hmm. if it's not a normal tipping situation, how we feel about it and everything. But one of, I think, the coolest things when I was growing up, my nan and papa, my parents, every Christmas, give something to the mailman. It was never anything huge, not a gigantic prize, usually like a gift card or something mm-hmm. like that. But I always thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
It was a nice kind of thing of like, hey, we appreciate you all year long doing this, rain or shine. Mm-hmm. You get our mail to us. Thank you so much. I know that we are not as dependent as we used to be on mail, but that doesn't mean our manners have to go away. Like, that doesn't mean our class has to go away, the way we treat each other, especially people like this in this particular job. If you're not going to do something like that, at the very least, keep your dog inside. We've all heard over the last 4 or 5 years how hard it is on our postal service. Yep. Do you guys want a world where there is no postal workers? Like,
hey, not me.
Put your dog away.
Yeah.
I love dogs, but That Ain't Right story, Melissa hit right on the head, is not the dog, is not the postal worker. It is you. It is you not putting
the
your
one
dog
who has
away.
Control over the dog. Yes.
I'm not going to get mad at the dog for being a dog. A dog is a protective person. Even if a dog has seen that mailman the same day, same time for 5 years in a row, he thinks of him as a stranger. He is not a part of the pack. So he is going to let you know, and he's going to mm-hmm. defend his household. That is what a dog does, and that is what one of the things we love about them. Mm-hmm. You can't turn that off. There is no off switch for that, so put the dog inside. Milwaukee came in on this list pretty low, so right under Minneapolis.
Okay.
So, pretty good.
We're better in the Midwest.
Yeah, that's not bad there. That's pretty cool. I wanted to touch on some local good stories real quick, and I want to start off actually with a local good story from me.
Oh, cool.
This weekend, I got to spend some time at the Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo. They are open for the season, everybody. I encourage you to go check it out. They have tons of great animals over there. An amazing staff. Mm-hmm. Their petting zoo is open from 1 to 2. And I have been in a lot of petting. As a dad of three, I have been in a lot of petting zoos in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not exaggerating here. That is the coolest, greatest, friendliest petting zoo I've ever been in my life. By far and away.
That's awesome.
These animals couldn't wait to come up and say hi.
Yep.
They were so sweet and so friendly. And do yourself a favor and say hi to the goats.
Yes.
Say hi to the goats, people. They are awesome. They're waiting for you. It's right down the block from us over here. Go ahead and say hi to our friends over there at the zoo. And just as a quick note, I also wanted to mention, too, that Helen's Zoo House, that they again, at 1911 Gaynor Avenue here in Wisconsin Rapids, Thursday, June 8th, coming up this week, 11 and at 1, Zoozort going to be there.
Yes.
We love our fans.
That's a tradition here. They usually hear the first week of the summer vacation.
Mm-hmm. They got the mini horses, the goats, a llama over there that is really cool. A llama with a lot of personality.
My favorite, Z-Donk. They've got a Z-Donk there, man. Whoa. I love the Z-Donk.
They're really cool. Very cool.
And this is the second year with the kangaroos, right?
Yes. Yep.
Beautiful kangaroo exhibit. Mm-hmm. Really cool looking kangaroo exhibit with some really friendly kangaroos.
Yes.
Encourage you to support our zoo. Head on over there when you see zoo staff. Thank them. Say hi to them. And again, get ready for ZooZort coming up this Thursday, June 8th at 11 and at 1 over at Helen's Zoo House. Join us over there for free, family-friendly events, open to the public. Big shout-out to our Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo. Mm-hmm. Join them over there at 1911 Gaynor Avenue. Great place.
Yes, indeed.
Great, great place. Appreciate everybody over there and all the good work that they are doing. Also wanted to say a shout-out to our friends at the South County YMCA. Mm-hmm. They have summer camp kicking off today.
Yes. Ooh. Very cool.
I hope it's going well for
them. Yeah.
Encourage people to not only be a part of things at our Y and take on our new facilities and everything, our beautiful building over there.
Uh-huh.
Join them at swcymca.org, swcymca.org. Mm-hmm. You can also give them a call at 888-9622, 818-9622.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the great book giveaway is coming up Tuesday, June 6th.
Almost here.
It's tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow. Mm.
The first great book giveaway is taking place at the Think Academy Playground in Rudolph at 10:30 a.m. And then a little bit later, they'll be at the Wisconsin Rapids Zoo at 1:30.
Yeehaw.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, twofer.
Yeah.
Catch the zoo and the great book giveaway.
Yeah, that's right.
Wednesday, two events going on. One at the Ed Heuer Elementary School in Port Edwards at 10:30. And then right here in town in Rapids, at our good friends over at McMillan Memorial Library will be hosting one at 6.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's going to be a great one. We'll talk plenty of great ones coming up throughout the rest of the week, too. We'll touch on free event, free books, volunteers read to kids, child care centers, welcome. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a really fun event. A big shout out to our friends at the United Way of South Windham's Counties. Find out more by going to uwswac.org.
Yes.
Let's take a look at some world good stories. A mom and daughter from Syria came to the U.S. as refugees in 2014. They just graduated from college together.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Cool.
With honors.
Nice.
They went to William Patterson University in New Jersey. They both had to work jobs as well to make ends meet.
Of course. Mm. Yeah, very cool, though.
That was really cool.
Nice.
Good on them.
Yeah.
A dad in Tennessee is going viral after he abandoned his dreadlocks and shaved his head to support his 11-year-old daughter who's fighting cancer.
Oh.
He hadn't cut his hair in 9 years.
Wow.
And we're not talking about white boys with dreads here. We're talking about like actual cultural dreads here. For those that don't know, African-Americans, Jews, Native Americans, the hair is a part of our culture. Uh-huh. And growing it long is oftentimes a deep part of that. It isn't just simply shaving your head just to you know, that's all. Anybody that does that for their, you know, significant other or kids is awesome, is a hero. Yeah. That's really cool. It just has an added meaning to it.
A show of solidarity, yeah.
Yep.
And a couple of, we focus in on some pets as we wrap up here. The world's oldest living cat just celebrated her 32nd birthday.
Wow. What? 32. 30. That's an old cat.
That is an old cat.
I've never heard of one that old before. Her name is Rosie, and her owner is still waiting for Guinness to certify it. But the current record holder is only 27 years old.
Wow.
So got that.
Blow that one out of the water.
Yeah, definitely got that one beat. And the record for the longest tongue on a living dog has fallen again.
Oh, no.
I know we've all been paying attention to this and everything. A 3-year-old English settler in Arizona snagged it back in February, but now a mutt in Louisiana holds the record with a tongue that's 5 inches longer than her snout.
Oh, my goodness.
Something wrong, Melissa? With you know, like long dog tongues or something?
No.
You sound very squeamish right now. I don't understand what the...
Yeah.
I apologize. I didn't know that, Melissa. I didn't mean to make you squeamish. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
I'm enjoying this so much right now.
You would, Brat.
Yeah. Not... Boy, I've never actually felt for a Guinness World Record. Like, the people that have to, like, test the record to find out that...
Pull the dog's tongue out? I don't know.
How do you measure a dog tongue? That's not, like... Well,
And good luck getting the dog to play along and everything, too.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to talk more about this as we go along, but Cranberry Blossom Festival kicks off June 15th, woo-hoo! Everybody.
Almost here.
The four-day festival brings tart and tasty fun to the Wisconsin Rapids area. It's one of our biggest events.
Yep.
We'll talk more. And Seth's got the Cranberry Blossom
shirt on. I got the shirt on from last year, yeah.
He's all ready
I wore mine yesterday.
Oh, very nice.
We're looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that in our segment here later in the week. And, of course, Rafter Baseball back on your radio dial tonight. Mm-hmm. But before that, our pregame will kind of kick off at 3. From 3 to 4, join us from Playmakers. Randy, Paul, and I will be here taking your phone calls. From 3 to 4 today, Playmakers will be brought to you, of course, by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out.
Nice.
Rafter Baseball tonight, pregame starts at 5:50 as we host the Madison Mallards, looking to get back in that win column. Mm-hmm. And maybe tomorrow the Rafters will be in our good stories of the day.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, guys.
We know it's been an interesting morning. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody.
Yeah.
You too. Have a good morning.
You too.
You too.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.